thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Of Christianity. Now, that if when that happens enough and you get further enough down the line of generations, what happens? You become pre-Christian. So we're dealing with this generation of people who have no bad feelings towards the church. And Cheryl and I are having amazing conversations with young women and young men, telling them that Jesus loves them. We're having conversations with 23-year-olds who have never heard the story of Jesus Christ. This is ridiculous. We agree. That's why we're there. We're just going to run through a couple of these. There's this picture. This is a picture of a church in our town. And this is a quote. It says, "England is a land full of houses built for a king that no longer resides." Our heart is to see God come back in contact with these precious people. We're on a journey. We'll just leave that one up there. I tell you what, let's flip through just a couple more. So why are we in the UK? It's because Father's heart to reach them. What are we doing about it? And let's just run to the pictures just real quick, and we'll move through them. We've been doing a young adult group. Most of these young people are completely de-churched. We've been working in the community. It's an amazing opportunity. We stand in front of these young kids and we tell them the story of Jesus Christ. And it's just this great honor to do that. We do a lunch for the elderly once a week. And just last time we did this, we were talking about this great message of Jesus. And it's elderly and disabled, so the disabled have caretakers with them. And they're young, 20-something-year-olds. And this one young girl is just wiping tears away from her face as she hears this message about Jesus. These are precious people whose hearts are ready for hope. God's opened up an amazing door for us to expand our influence. And Cheryl and I have been doing a lot of traveling on the road. An organization called Greater Europe Mission ran into us in the UK. They have their vision is to reach the UK, but they have no one there. And Greater Europe Mission is a mission organization that's been around for 50 years. And they have no one to work the UK. They have no one to reach young people. And they asked us, Worship International, that's our nonprofit, they asked us to help them to accomplish what their vision is and what our vision is. Our vision set out to start a movement in the UK that influences all the UK and moves also into Europe. Well, funny enough, that's their vision. So I ran into them. We ran into them in England. And they said, "Could you help us?" And we said, "We'd love to help you." And funny enough, when they said, "You need to come, can we talk for a while?" And we asked where their headquarters was. And they said, "Monument, Colorado." So it was quite convenient for us to really birth this new relationship to really impact the UK and Europe. So we've been working at Cafe Church in London that sits on one of the trendiest streets called Brick Lane. It's surrounded by Arabics, but it's also surrounded by loads and loads of college students. So we've had a great time of influence in this, speaking and teaching. And through Greater Europe Mission, they want to send missionaries there. So they sent a couple of them there, and then we're responsible to kind of inspire them to continue doing the work, which we love to do. It allows us to be us, but then it also allows us to expand our influence. Let's move to the next one real quick. Local church, it's our heart. God opens up many doors, and we work in the local church and our community. Head to the next one. Missionary love and support. This is one of the young women. Her name is Kayla, I'm so sorry. That Cheryl just loves on, prays for, stays in contact with her. Move on to the next one. We're just praying for one of our other missionaries that's on the street there. This is Ryan and Esley, and Ryan's dad just died a year ago, and he felt like God had called him to the mission field, and he felt like he shouldn't wait, and so he hit the mission field, and he's working in the UK, reaching young folks with the great message of the gospel. Vision for the future, this is really us. The partnership with the Greater Europe Mission, London lead strategist, we're kingdom entrepreneurs, church planting movement, Europe outreach, and also short-term, I guess for us, they'd be in-reach teams, but it's outreach, helping lead them. God's given us this nation, and we believe he wants it. I heard a quote last week. It said, "He who offers the most hope has the most influence." And we know this. The one person that carries the most hope in the world is you and I, because the hope of the world lives in us, and we go to share that in Europe and in the UK. So if we would covet your prayers, we love all of you. Thank you. Hope I didn't go too long. That's right. You want to say something?
I tell you, it's always great to have Jason Sherrill back with us. And, I was thinking, we can't have him here leading worship and be in England at the same time. We just can't do it here on this earth, maybe in heaven. But it is, we're starting our missions weekend. And the reason we always do this in November is we want to prepare everybody for 2013. And so here's your opportunity. Everybody got a brochure. We've added some folks. You'll see Jason and Cheryl's and family's picture in here. This is all. We have 48 missionaries all over the world. A lot of them are local here and then all over the world. We're blessed as a congregation to have such wonderful missionary partners working hard out in the field. And so tonight we're gonna start things rolling. You'll see a pledge card. If you haven't had a chance to already pre-pledge for 2013, you can go ahead and pick a missionary, or two, or three, or four, and go ahead and fill in an amount, $5, $10, $20. Be a part of what's going on. We sang a song to, going to the ends of the earth. You know, even though until we get our feet literally into another country, we can be there in our prayers, we can be there in our giving, in our caring for our missionary partners. We're all part of the same team. And we have those on the field, goers, and we're the senders. And so please take a look at this. We wanted to mention this to you now so you can fill it out. The ushers will be in the back, and they'll take your pledge and they'll put it in the bucket back there. So we're kicking things off. We got Kurt Chanda from Kazakhstan sharing this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. And we're blessed to have Chris Fela with us today. He and his family served in Xi'an, China, and amazing creative ministry there in Xi'an teaching. They started out over here with Youth with a Mission, went through their schools, did, end up teaching, being on staff, and then they were sent out, and we wanted to get behind what God is doing for them. So let's welcome Chris Fela, okay?
Thank you so much. Oh, nice. Let me just take a look at you guys real fast. I'm so elated and so honored to be here. It's already been a full night, wouldn't you agree? I mean, I don't even have to say anything, and we could just go home full of a boost of spiritual adrenaline and God's passion and heart for the world. But if God's still moving, can we just keep on running with it? You guys okay? I want to start off by just pointing out, I know you guys are aware of this, but really, Pastor Roger, just nailed it on the head by saying, look it, this is a part of what we are doing. Jason and Cheryl, right? Jason and Cheryl shared all of that. Faith Bible Chapel, that's your inheritance in the nations. That's your inheritance in England and everywhere else that they've gone. It's not just their story. And as you hear me share about China and how God has led us there and what God was doing in our midst there and what we're up to now, please don't hear it like I'm some narcissist that thinks I do really cool things. But rather, I'm sharing it because it's your story, it's our story, it's God's story. We're all in this together. And we wouldn't have been able to do it without you guys. Jason and Cheryl can't do it without you guys. I had the privilege of being with Russ and Lana in my hometown, inviting them into my little apartment in Xi'an. It was so wonderful. Bobby, some of you guys know. You guys would all know Bobby, actually, right? Yeah, just earth shakers and world changers. And we're able to meet all around the globe. It's such a fascinating, wonderful thing. And you guys are a part of that in many different forms and facets. My story starts right around the corner. This little place called, wait, which way? Oh, yeah, right around the corner. A little disoriented. I spent about 2 hours in the dentist chair this afternoon, so I'm just happy my mouth isn't numb and I'm not drooling in front of you guys. My story starts at Youth with a Mission. In the year 2000, I was fresh out of high school, and I had these dreams. I was going to go to Cal Poly, California Polytechnic University, become an architect, and I was going to have a lot of money and put a Jesus fish on the back of my car and call it good between me and God. And God had different plans for me. I remember incredibly vividly, how frustrated I was with my mom as I got the letter from Cal Poly. And it was a tiny little envelope, much too small to be an acceptance packet. And my nosy mom, bless her heart, had opened it before me, and she read the news that it contained, and she wrote a verse on the front of it, and she wrote, you guys always know, now I'm just being really honest, whenever somebody's given you this verse, you know that life could be better, right? Can you know a verse I'm talking about? Romans 8:28. All things work to the good, and you're like, oh, man, thank you? My mom had written it on the front, and I said, okay, God. I had no relationship with God up to this point. I went to a Christian high school, and I would sit in our chapel services. And I remember these missionaries would come in, and I would try to stay awake in the back, and I would twitch myself out of sleep, and I'd always tell God, God, I'm never going to do that for you. I'll do anything but that. And so I find myself sitting there with this little letter, and I say, okay, God, you have a plan for me. Why don't you show me what it is? I never expected what would come next. I close my eyes and I see written in my mind's eye a four-letter word, for lack of a better way to put it, YWAM. Or from your perspective, YWAM. No, YWAM. And I thought, no, no way. I battled out with God, and about a month later, I find myself walking through the doors of Youth with a Mission, and I remember every single day being absolutely overwhelmed with gratitude that God loved me enough to come and call me out of my comfort zone and bring me to this place. And a little bit into my time there, God challenged me with something very profound, and I'm still wrestling with it today. Because my goal for going to Cal Poly, becoming an architect, living by the beach, was simply that I would have wealth and comfort and security. But in my time with Youth with a Mission, and as I continued on to travel the world, God challenged me with this. He said, are you willing to give up wealth, comfort, and security in this life so that others may have it with you in the next? And I said, I want to be. I really want to be. And it began this journey of God saying, will you let me show you my dreams for you? Instead of just dreaming your own dreams. And I'm very blessed that it included these three wonderful humans right here. This is my wife, Sarah, my oldest boy, Joshua, and then mini Sarah there, Zachary, her little three-year-old. Can you see the life and the light in their eyes? This is the family that I've been blessed with. Sarah and I, we got together. Actually, remember, I was sitting in high school, and I would tell God what? That I was never going to do what? Never going to be a missionary. We got together leading an outreach to South Africa and Kenya, where we're literally in a tribe in the middle of Kenya with no running water, bucket showers, no toilets, just holes in the ground. And I meet this woman, and God just reveals the future that I'm going to have with her. And I thought, God, I have been so ignorant. I have been so ignorant. Thank you for saving me from myself. This is what you can hinge my entire message on. If you take notes, I promise you, you won't have many notes tonight. So for you note takers, here's your one note. My whole entire message, because my whole entire life hinges on this quote. And it's this reality. Frederick Buechner said it this way. The place that God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness, your deep joy, your passion, and the world's deep hunger meet. The last 12 years of my life have been a testimony to that reality, that God knows not only what he's put inside of me to use for his glory, but where in the world it is needed most. And both of those must go together, in my opinion. The place where God calls you is where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. The crux of what I want to share has to do with how we ended up living in a place that has a moat. Have you guys ever lived in a town that has a moat? Pretty fascinating. We're complete with a drawbridge encircled by a wall that's 1,500 years old. It's a quaint little city of 8 million people plus. Nice, quiet little village. I never expected in a million years that I would end up there, but the journey doesn't start there. It actually, and it kind of starts in Denver, but it really has a lot to do with this idea. Pastor George and Cheryl have a tremendous heart for Israel. Tremendous heart for Israel. I don't need to tell you that. How many of you have had the privilege of being in Israel yourselves? Can I see some hands? Man, I wish I had time to bring you up here and interview you. For those of you that haven't, can you even imagine? And those of you that have, how fascinating was it to actually walk where Jesus walked? Did it just blow your mind? To actually be able to go in and see that, guess what? The tomb really is empty. Yikes. To be able to touch the sand on the shores of the Sea of Galilee where Jesus was and to touch things Jesus touched. What a privilege. And I hope someday I have that privilege. But there was a young man in Brazil, and he shared this perspective, and it completely changed my understanding of privilege and walking where Jesus walked. He said, now it would be a phenomenal privilege to walk where Jesus walked and to touch what Jesus touched, but is it possible that the even greater privilege is not to walk where Jesus walked, but actually to walk where Jesus never had a physical chance to walk? To take the life of Jesus, the footsteps of Jesus, where Jesus never had a chance to, by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. What a privilege as well. I love talking about missions from the perspective of for the sake of the world, but I want to kind of share a little bit from a different angle, from the viewpoint of God's heart. From the viewpoint of, and that's not that that's not what we've been doing, but really taking a look and saying, God, we want to value what we value. We want to see how you see. We want to operate in tune with the beat of your heart, with your pulse. And I think a lot of it hinges on this idea, and I want to share another story similar. If I would quit getting text messages. There was a YWAM outreach, actually, and there were about three of the guys on this team, and they found themselves in line in the middle of China, and they were buying train tickets. And as they're standing there, it's quite a long line. It's taking a long time. A lot of people travel by train in China. One of the guys has a little ukulele that he brought with him. And they're waiting, and slowly, the young man starts to just play his ukulele, and he begins to play some worship songs quietly in English. And he continues to play, and then the three of them, they all join in together, and they just quietly worship God in English as they're standing in this train station. They continue on, they get their tickets, and they don't think much of it, and they go back later to join their group. One of the beautiful things about Youth with a Mission is that we believe that God really wants to speak, and that God really wants to speak often, because God cares that much. And this group, practicing that, living out that value, they took some time to listen to God, and they just said, God, what do you want to say to us about our day today? And as they sat there, after a few moments of silence, a student speaks up, a little bit hesitant, and the student says, okay, this is really a little bit weird, but I feel like God said, thank you. And the rest of the students looked, and they said, okay. Fascinating. Did God explain why God said thank you? And the student said, no, not really. So they went back to seek God, and they just asked simply, God, why are you thanking us? We're honored, we're privileged, but why are you thanking us? And after a little bit of time, another student spoke up, and they began to get emotional, and they said this. They said, I felt like God said thank you, because never before in the history of the cosmos has someone stood on that exact piece of land where you three stood today and worshiped my name. Thank you. And I hear that story in my heart, and the emotion wells up in me because I love hearing God say things to me like, son, I love you. Son, well done, I'm proud of you. But can you imagine the feeling of the creator of the cosmos looking down at you and saying, thank you. Because I knew in a profound way that your life was not your own, but that you were willing to sacrifice all for the sake of my glory. Thank you. That's my heart for all that I've done. That's my heart for sharing tonight. That's Pastor Roger's heart for having Missions Week, is that we can hear the voice of God speaking over our lives. Thank you, because your life was lived for me. China came into the picture in a very intimate way in my life, in the form of a beautiful little girl. She's much older now, but this just captures the essence of who she is. Her name is Joy Lin. She was adopted from a city called Kunming. Some of you have been there. You still see today, she's now 16 years old. She still has scars on her elbows because she spent the 2.5 to 3 years in the orphanage. The majority of her time was spent tied to a high chair. Some of you probably have children adopted from China in this room or adopted from other places in Asia. The reality was for my sister that there were just simply not enough people to take care of her. Her energy level was just off the charts and they couldn't follow her around. She spent the majority of her life, from 8 months when she was found at the train station in a basket with pneumonia to 3.5 years old, tied to a high chair. And I still am reminded every time I see her as I look at her arms that that was her reality. You know, one of the ways you can find out what God is calling you to, what God is giving you permission or calling you to engage in mission in the world, is by asking yourself this question: what makes me angry about the world? What is not right about the world? Because there's a good chance God is wanting to partner with you to make a difference, to change it, to fix it. As I'm speaking, some of you guys have things coming to your mind and heart already, right? Yeah. My hope is that you have a sense of permission to pursue that ruthlessly, knowing that God is with you in that. For me, this was one of them. The reality that according to the Philip Hayden Foundation a few years ago, there was approximately 15 million orphans in China alone. Stop and let that number soak in for a moment. 15 million. That's quite a bit. 15 million is the population of Buenos Aires, Argentina. 15 million is the population of the entire nation of Chile. 15 million. And it's 15 million, mostly little girls, who spend their lives longing for family, but for most of them, it never becomes a reality. What makes you angry about the world? Chances are it makes God angry too. And there was another thing that was on the radar for us in a very significant way. Some of you have read this book, The Heavenly Man. Who's familiar with the story of The Heavenly Man? Yeah. Some of you nod, and I don't have time to go into the story, but basically, the Heavenly Man is one of the leaders of this incredible movement called Back to Jerusalem. Who's familiar with that? Back to Jerusalem is a movement of the Chinese church wants to send a huge, huge number of missionaries. I guess we'd go this way for you. A huge number of missionaries along the Silk Roads through what's known as the 1040 window, where there are still about 2 billion people that have never heard the good news of Jesus Christ. Or Oswald Smith said it this way: we talk about the second coming of Christ, but half the world has never heard about the first. More accurate way to state it would be about a third of the world, but it's still relevant. There are about 2 billion people that have never once heard the name of Jesus. Most of them find themselves in this area called the 1040 window that stretches from Japan over to Jerusalem and a little bit further. The Chinese church wants to send, release out, hundreds of thousands of missionaries. We were in Thailand, and I had a chance to be a part of a meeting with the Heavenly Man. And the question was, how can Youth with a Mission be a part of the Back to Jerusalem movement? How can we serve the Back to Jerusalem movement? It was very simple. He said, teach us English and help us to understand how to do cross-cultural ministry. And I thought, my English is decent. As the Chinese would say, hai kui. Where's Marianne, right? Hai kui. It's okay. Or the better Chinese phrase, mama hu hu, which means horse, horse, tiger, tiger. Somehow they translate that into average. No idea the connection. But anyways, my English is okay, and I've done a little bit of cross-cultural ministry. I've been to 39 countries. I've done my share of cross-cultural work. I thought, sign me up. I didn't know what it looked like, though. You can have a call to China, but it comes with a problem. China's kind of big. It's not really one of those SMART goals, right? Specific, measurable, actionable, whatever the rest of our rest phrase would know. But whatever a SMART goal is, go to China is a little bit daunting. I realized, no, actually, I didn't find out till later. I'll go back to that. I was meeting with a man who, if there was a Youth with a Mission China, he would be the leader of YWAM China, but it doesn't exist, and I never mentioned it in this room. Wink, wink. So if there was Youth with a Mission China, he would be the president, and he knew that Sarah and I were called to a place where there was no YWAM presence, first of all, somewhere where we could engage this whole Back to Jerusalem movement. And that, well, basically those were the two things, but we had no idea what that looked like. And he said this. He said, as I think about you and Sarah, as I pray for you, there's a city that comes to my mind. This city is actually the beginning of the Silk Roads. It's the beginning of the Back to Jerusalem movement. And there's no YWAM presence there currently. Are you interested in knowing what it is? It's like, are you seriously asking me that? Tell me. He said, this city is called Xi'an, X-I-apostrophe-A-N. And as soon as he said it, it just, bing, just resonated deeply inside of me. And I thought, okay, well, let's pray about it. I went back to my hotel room, and I opened my Bible, and it fell open to this tiny little piece of paper. This piece of paper had been ripped from a map from 3 years prior, an intercession in time in Denver, where they handed a map out to everybody in the room. Our job was to rip a little piece off, pray for whatever was on that map. I had done this 15 times up to this point, and for some reason, this one time, I kept this little piece of a map. I had shoved it in my Bible. 3 years later, I'm leaving this meeting with this man. He says, it's called Xi'an. Will you pray about it? Flip open my Bible, and there's only one major city on this little map. Guangzhou. No, I'm just kidding. Of course it was Xi'an. And I thought, wow, maybe God is saying something. We'll pray about it. We'll fast. About a year later, we find ourselves adjusting to life in the city was the ancient capital of China, the capital for 13 dynasties, about 1,100 years. Little bit of a culture shock. We got our oldest boy in school. We just tried to learn how to adjust. Our mandate for the first 2 years, and I'm going to have to speed up a little bit. Our mandate for the first 2 years was simply this. To live, to learn, and to love. To come with no agenda. To not assume that we knew what they needed there. But really, to learn the language, to learn the culture, and take time to hear how we could take who we are and serve them with the needs that they really feel and meet them in a way that Jesus wants to meet them. It was pretty simple, at least I thought it would be. We had a team with us of about 12 people and about 6 kids, and now about 10 kids. One of the things that we would constantly go back to is simply, what are you passionate about? How can you take how God has wired you and make it a blessing to those around you? It wasn't really necessarily some mystical thing. Often we think that God's calling has to be mystical or that it's really the spiritual things that God wants to use. But in this room, there are hundreds and hundreds of things that God is longing to use. All we need to do is just have a little retraining of our imaginations of what that could look like to incorporate those into kingdom work. Do you guys feel that struggle sometimes? Kind of like, oh, those are the missionaries, but I'm just a whatever. But that's not the case at all. And I could go into many stories. One blatant example, farmers. Many of us would think, well, really, maybe we would struggle to answer, what does a farmer have to do with the work of God or being a missionary? But if we think about it this way, next time you go home and sit down to a meal, what are you going to do? You're going to say, thank you, God, for this food. But you could say, why don't you thank the farmer? See, everything in our lives is a participation in the work of God. It's actually, the thing is, do we tap into that? Are we aware of that? My question for you is, what are the things that God has burning in your hearts that you've maybe felt like a second-class Christian because they don't look as glorious or maybe they aren't as encouraged? But God is saying, no, I absolutely want to use that because I know there's many things inside of all of you. But I digress. For me, one of the big ones was snowboarding. If you would have told me that I was going to move to a city in the middle of China and learn to teach professional skaters how to snowboard in Chinese on a hill that's 150 yards long from top to bottom, I would have said, you're crazy. But there's the proof, and I absolutely loved it. One of the hardest things about life in China is that the pressure on people to succeed, the competition is so absolutely fierce that a lot of them spend their time either trying to drown the pressure and the stress with alcohol or the internet. There are actually camps in China, rehabilitation camps for internet addicts. Not just rehabilitation for drugs or sexual addiction, but for internet addicts. We've actually sent outreach teams to go and work at a camp where these kids got taken out there. There are no computers allowed. They spend their time learning English, playing basketball, all these things, because the way they deal with stress, the pressure on them, you can have a PhD in China and be not even close to guaranteed a job. Can you imagine the pressure? So one of the ways they deal with that is by drinking and by internet. There are kids that have died in Asia by playing video games for 55 hours straight. They have some kind of aneurysm and they will die. So snowboarding might not seem very spiritual, but I've had many people, as we're out on the hill giving free lessons, that say, Chris, thank you so much, because this is the only healthy activity I have in my life right now. And I think Jesus is probably in that. Do you? Or in the words of Peter, 1 Peter 3:15, always be willing to give an answer for the hope that you have. Do you think I was ever asked, why on earth would you leave Colorado that has Vail, Breckenridge, Keystone, on and on and on, to come and teach us here on this joke of a hill? And I'd say, I'm so glad you asked, and let me tell you his name. We had members in our team that would, one girl was the lead singer. She was this girl from a Mennonite background in Ohio. She was the lead singer of a Chinese punk rock band. How rad is that? It makes me think of the verse in Matthew 4 that says, how does it go? Upon those who are walking in darkness, a great light has dawned. She would take the light of Jesus into punk rock concerts. And I was there one time with 800 Chinese students listening to her. Just this little Mennonite girl from Ohio with pink hair, rocking out with all these Chinese Christians. We had one girl that was a youth pastor for missionary kids. We had another girl that had a discipleship night in her home every night or every week. And all of these girls, it was the only place that they could come and really find out where Jesus intersected with their daily life. And they were deeply grateful for that. I'll share another story about a final couple, but yeah, for me it was snowboarding. And then another thing, and I wish I had more time to share about this, I mentioned to you some of the ways that the Chinese would deal with stress and pressure. The most tragic is this. This statistic is from about 6 or 7 years ago. On average, every day, just among university students, were 685 suicides. 685 suicides. You get lower than a certain mark on a test, and what do? Well, you've shamed your family because you're no longer going to be able to go to the university that your future is riding on. You're the social security system. If you've lost all hope for your family, their logical conclusion is to take their life. This is, like I said, from a few years ago, but 685 a day just in the university age range. The Chinese government caught wind of this statistic and they consulted some people that are like-minded with us. They said, we want to create a camp. Will you create the curriculum and will you run this camp? Some of you, maybe not here in this room, but there are some Faith Bible Chapel members that have actually been to China and worked with this camp. It was called the Sunshine in Your Heart International Camps. This camp is all about self-worth, about integrity, about identity, about destiny, about stress management. And we were able to be a part of that. I got to be one of the coaches. I got to be one of the keynote speakers. I got to share with 150, 200 Chinese students with some Americans mixed in. What they would do is they would bring Western Christians in with these top Chinese university students, throw them in a dorm room together and say, get to know each other and let's see some kingdom fireworks. The first camp they ran, according to the first director, 80% of the 100 and something Chinese students became followers of Jesus. Absolutely incredible. The camp was so successful, they said 10 days is not long enough. They took it and they expanded it out into a year-long university curriculum. As soon as I heard about it, I said, that's what I want to do. They said, okay, good, you should do it. What's your PhD in? And I said, my what? Can you send me your CV? I'm like, what? Curriculum vitae? Said, I don't have a bachelor's degree. Can I get in on semi-moderate looks in moderate Chinese? And I said, sorry, call back in 7 years. I obviously couldn't do that. But I started a master's program at Fuller Seminary, and I'm about halfway through my 6 years of that. But along the way, something else came up. And it was another year-long program that had also been created out of this Sunshine in Your Heart International Camp. It was called the Life Education Course. It was backed by the Red Cross of China. In other words, pretty legitimate. The curriculum was put together by a bunch of believers from the United States, and it was quite explicitly biblical. They were working in what's considered to be China's, we call it in the United States, the Ivy League, right? Well, they were in the universities, there were Ivy League schools in the Chinese equivalent. 150 to 200 students every week that they would come in and they would tell them why they have value just because they exist. They would talk to them about calling and destiny, about worldview, about why it matters to love, why it matters to wait until you're married to have sex. Sex ed doesn't exist in China. And these guys would come in. One of the questions, I'm sorry, this is, I wasn't planning on going here. I'm not trying to give you guys a sex ed class. For some perspective, one of the questions in the FAQ section of our handbook teaching this course was, can I get pregnant through holding hands? The answer is no. But there's literally no such thing as sex ed in China because they will not talk about it. And when you hear about 15 million orphans, when you hear about maybe around 10 million abortions a year, most likely. I remember in Kunming walking from one block, I walked about two or three blocks, I counted four abortion clinics. Do you think that a lack of sexual education could possibly be tied into that? Maybe just a little bit. So I eventually, and the beautiful thing about this is I didn't need a degree to become a part of it. So I began to teach in different universities this thing based on the Sunshine in Your Heart project called Life Education, talking about sex ed, about value, about integrity. All these things that were intentionally designed to cultivate conversation about God. The first place that I taught, because you might be wondering, okay, Chris, that's wonderful. That's a cool little detour. What does that have to do with back to Jerusalem? I had no idea either. I began teaching the teachers where I was learning Chinese. And about 4 months into teaching them, I became aware of something very powerful, very exciting. They were all Christians except for one. And it turns out that the whole purpose of the school, beyond teaching foreigners Chinese, was that so they could train up teachers, Chinese teachers, as missionaries to go to the 1040 window and use Chinese language as their in to be a part of the Back to Jerusalem movement. I had been contributing, I had been a part of the Back to Jerusalem movement for 4 months, and I didn't even know it. Isn't God amazing? God's like, it's okay, I got my thing, I'm doing my thing. I'll just let you in on what you need to be let in on. Like, thanks. I had no idea. One of my teachers sat down with me and she said, Chris, I need you to pray for my trip. I would like you to be on my prayer team. I'm going to Pakistan for 10 days. We've heard that in Pakistan, the number two foreign language behind English that they want taught is Mandarin Chinese, and they're looking for thousands of Chinese teachers to come in and to teach Chinese in their universities. Can you imagine what this could mean for our school? That's exciting. Self-sustained Chinese missionaries? This is being recorded, maybe, maybe not. It won't go online, right? I won't say the name of the school. Self-supported Chinese missionaries teaching Chinese in the middle of Pakistan. That's exciting. That's very exciting. And God says, oh, by the way, you've been working on this. You've been doing this for 4 months. Hello? Thank you, Jesus. I'll wrap up with this. What about the orphans? Well, there was a team, or there was a family on our team. Their basic family life, if you can imagine, was managing this. This was their clan. So they had their natural daughters, the two on your right, then their son, and then they had Sammy, this little guy in the middle, Ellie, next to the kid in the blue, and then Lily. These are three HIV-positive Chinese orphans. The one on your far left, her name is Lily, they are adopting her. As soon as they turn 30 years old, they're putting all their paperwork in, they're adopting her. The other two were in their home for about 6 months until they had to leave and move to another city. But their heart is to open doors for other foreigners. They pioneered the way, and they're doing this in the city they're in now. They're pioneering the whole concept of full-time foster care for HIV-positive orphans. It's absolutely wonderful. For me, I spent months thinking, Jesus, I love what I'm doing, but really I know your heart is for orphans and widows. I want to get to do that. And God spoke to me out of Acts chapter 6. And it's the scene where some of the Hellenists, they come and they come to the apostles, they say, you know what? Some of our widows aren't being cared for. And it was like God speaking to me, you feel like you're not caring for orphans and you feel guilty about that? And the apostles' response was so telling. They didn't say, that doesn't matter, but they said, it is not for us to do. It is our job to teach and preach, and we will delegate to qualified people to take care of your widows. And God basically challenged me this way. He said, son, are you okay if you never get to be the one that hands-on brings the orphans into your home? Is it okay? Is it enough for you that you help facilitate life in China for this family that will spend decades loving on these little ones that are so dear to my heart? Is it okay if you don't get the glory for it? And are you okay with the fact that I've called you to teach and advocate and mobilize? And I bring that around to you guys because often, no matter who we hear share, it's always easy to compare. It's always easy to say, I want to be doing that. Or like at a restaurant, you know, you see somebody order something wonderful. You're like, oh, I'll have what they're having. And God's like, no, I have something that's just for you. What is it that's for you? And are you okay with it? Last thought, I hope. So now, I'll just say this. We left China a few months ago. We're back living in California. It's for health reasons, for family reasons, and for calling reasons. God is calling us to step out of China and become a global family again, to engage Latin America, to engage Asia on a broader scale. And we're taking our time in that. We're kind of back to square one. We're living, learning, and loving. And that's all that we really need to do. And I want to encourage you guys in your living, learning, and loving in your neighborhoods here in Arvada or wherever you find yourself. And please don't box God in as far as what mission looks like through your life. About a week before I left, I got a phone call. And it was this YWAM leader, the guy that told us about Xi'an, and he said, Chris and Sarah, I'm praying for you guys. I know this is a hard struggle. I know that it's really traumatic for you guys to leave China. But he said, I want to tell you something. He asked me to get Sarah on the phone and so we could be on speakerphone. He wanted to tell us both this. And he just very earnestly, very sincerely, he said, thank you. Thank you for the 5 years of sacrifice. Thank you for stepping into a culture that you didn't know, that was intimidating, that was overwhelming. Thank you for serving them, for loving them. Thank you for being willing to take your boys away from their grandchildren. Thank you, because it has not been overlooked by God. But that's not the thank you that I want to end with. The thank you I want to end with is a thank you to you guys here at Faith Bible Chapel. Because Jason and Cheryl and Chris and Sarah and Ajay and Nancy, right? And Russ and Lana, you guys have launched out missionaries to the four corners of the world and beyond. And if it wasn't for you having sent us and for you sustaining us, we couldn't be doing what we're doing. So thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your friendship, for your time, for your love, for your prayers. Thank you for being a part of this wonderful tapestry that is God's kingdom work, in which there is not a single one of us that is irrelevant or insignificant. Thank you. And may we all live our lives in such a way that at the end of it, we stand before Jesus and his Father, and they look over us and they say, thank you, because I know your life was not lived for yourself. Thank you. Pastor Roger.
Amen. Chris, why don't you come on down? Is Jason still here? Jason and Cheryl, if they're still here. Okay. Before we pray for Chris and his family and our missionaries, I just want to, the new brochure is, to me, is a wonderful, wonderful prayer guide. And we've got all 48 missionaries on there. If you want to, I just really encourage you throughout this next year, you know, even through 2013, is to continue to rotate and pray. And you can find details out in the missions display when we get their newsletters. We know how to pray. We can stay updated. And then when they come in into town, we have them share in missions class. In fact, Chris is going to share a second hour this Sunday upstairs in missions class if you want to hear more details. But that's the key thing about this brochure, is to really get a heart. And on the back is some ideas of how to pray. I mean, just some key truths that you can pray out. So take a look at that. Now, what we want to do this weekend is give you an opportunity. It's a privilege to give to missions. Our goal here at Faith Bible Chapel, and I know it's Pastor George's heart and all the pastors' heart, is that every family, every individual would have at least one missionary that they can pledge to, even $5, $10 a month, and they can pray for that missionary. You're a part of this big operation, part of God's global kingdom. And like Chris said, you know, everybody can be used. We can be instantly in China by our prayers and our giving. So I just want to share with you, if you hadn't had a chance, think about it. If you want to take it home and fill it out and turn it in later, that's fine. If you can make a decision tonight what you'd like to do, they go fast. We've already had several of our missionaries taken, so pray about that and everything. So is Jason Cheryl back yet? Okay, but let's have a few of you guys, Lonnie and Carl, come around. Chris and Lana and Russ, why don't you come around? Mary, why don't you come on up? Janice, come on up. And just gather around Chris. And I'm going to lead out in prayer. And then if you guys feel led, just continue to pray. But I want you to reach out your hands over Chris. And now he represents it. Quality missionaries we have. We're blessed with the people we have all over the world. So let's just reach out your hand and let's just agree with God. Lord, we thank you for your heart for the nations, Lord. We thank you how you've raised up and connected us with people that have such a heart for the world, such a heart for all the different nations, the people groups, oh God. You've gifted them in so many wonderful ways. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing. Lord, you're building your kingdom. You're preparing your bride from every nation, tribe, and tongue to be with you and be your bride, Lord Jesus. So we just thank you for that. Lord, we lift up Chris and Sarah and the kids, Lord God. Lord, they have physical needs, oh God. They have needs, Lord God, emotional needs and relational needs. They have visions, God, that you've put in their heart. Lord, we speak your blessings over them, Lord. We speak physical healing and health to each and every one of them, Lord. We speak your blessings financially so they can move on and be your hand extended. Lord, we pray for new divine appointments in relationships as they go to the nations, as he Chris gets his education, Lord God. Show him, Lord God, who to speak into, to be instant in season and reflect you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray for every one of our missionaries. They would truly reflect you in among the people groups that they are. Lord, anoint them with your blessings, or anoint them with your righteousness. Anoint them, Lord God, with your love and your grace, oh God. Lord, meet them physically. Meet them, oh God. We thank you, Lord. Accomplish all that you want to accomplish. And use us, oh God, in our prayers, oh God, as we seek you. You wait for us to pray. You wait for us to give. You wait for us to care. And we thank you. You're a glorious God. It's for your glory, Lord. It's your glory. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Let's give Chris a big hand. Let's give the Lord a hand, okay? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Come down and meet him. I'd like to have just some special prayer. If you guys would just pray some more. Chris needs our prayer. And Pastor Russ, if you want to do that. You're dismissed. Have a good evening. We'll see you this weekend, okay?
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.